week in the Lakeville Journal. I know we've got Cynthia Hostmuller on the line. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning.
And Janet Manko on the line. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
It worked.
So we've got a morning that it's 41 degrees, and we have sunshine, and we're expecting 65. It's a great morning.
Yeah, it's a great morning. Right. A little bit Mercury in retrograde here. Things keep breaking, but we'll see how the day goes.
No, that's not Mercury.
What is it?
Oh, it's a long, long story.
Okay.
It's a long, long story. Yes, cover up, okay?
Okay.
All right, well, we'll go right to this week's edition of the Lakeville Journal. And I want to tell people, when I talk about the Lakeville Journal every week here, I get the digital edition. I just love it because it's a PDF version of the regular paper. And it's like thumbing through the regular paper. If you haven't done it yet, you can sign up for it at tricornernews.com. There's an unsolicited plug because I just find it so much easier to read this way, but that's just me. But anyway.
Well, thank you, Marshall. I'm so glad to hear that but we thought that was, because, you know, it's searchable. You can zoom in on it if, you know, the type is too small in some areas or you want to really read something carefully. Yeah, it's really a great product, so thank you for that.
All right. It's always what's up in front of me. We'll start off with, you know, this matches an interview Dr. Mark Herko called that wanted to go on the air last week. The Sharon Hospital will continue to do what they do when it comes to vaccinations. He was explaining, though, but there's just so much they can do. There's only so many people they can hire. And you've got a full story by Patrick Sullivan talking about COVID-19 vaccinations.
And we talked to Dr. Herko and to Maria Horn, our state rep, and there had been a conversation last week where what we had been told was that the state was considering moving vaccination away from all the hospital sites. And anybody who's 55 or older knows that last week, just as signups were beginning on the state VAMS site, they pulled HiWatch off. And that site seems it was pretty crashed all last week, and I'm not sure if it's back up now because I'm happy to say I'm getting my vax today. I haven't been on it. But it looked like the two local sites were about to be closed, and some of the rec directors and social services directors here who've been helping people sign up and still have a backlog of over 75 people trying to get appointments were very upset about it, and we're in conversation with the hospital and with Maria trying to figure out whether there could be a way for the hospital to continue to give vaxes. So for now, Sharon Hospital is continuing to fulfill its obligation to people who had their first vax and is giving them their second vax. And as far as I can tell, HiWatch is back in Kent giving the vaccines. What I understand was they had been closed down because at the end of the day when they had extra serum, they're not supposed to call people and say to them, we have extra serum, you can come get your shot. They have to tell people they're allowed to call them and check in, because I guess there's a danger of people setting aside vaccine and calling their friends and family. So they were hit with a violation for that, but I believe they're back on. And as our rec directors were saying, for older people, it's a challenge to get even to Kent and Sharon to get their shots, but for them to have to go to Torrington, Waterbury, Danbury is even harder. But that leads, of course, to our other story on the front page by Deborah Alexinas about the super heroic work that they're doing over at Gear Dial-A-Ride, which is a service that's very valuable to so many of our elders. Boy, would we love to have an Uber service up here, because there are so many older people who can't quite get to their doctor appointments. But Gear is doing a great job of trying to coordinate shots for people, get them their appointments made, as they have been doing in recent years of coordinating doctor visits for them.
And I know about Kent. Right now, all Kent is doing is following up on second shots. I have mine coming up, I think, on March 23rd or something like that at Kent. But what Gear does, and I want to mention this as well, every year when Gear goes looking for help, financial help from the towns for their program, towns, this is the reason why it's important. Okay,
yeah.
Where you have things like this and you have something that's in place that can transport people at a very inexpensive or no cost at all that need something. This is why it's worth whatever the $5,000 or $10,000 you're asked to contribute. This is why it's worth it. It's right there in front of us.
Absolutely. And as Marshall said, budget season is coming up, and every year there's a conversation in the towns about, you know, can we afford this extra? I think they increased it a lot a couple years ago. But really, this is a major important service in our region.
And it's in place. It's in place. So when something like this happens, you don't have to set it up. There's no time. All right, we'll go into something nice before we go into another COVID story. And that is, you know, I watched Major League Baseball this weekend for the first time and loved it. It's so nice to see the picture of the fishermen out there at a surprise early opening to fishing season again.
And, of course, fishing in the Housatonic River in the trout management areas does not require the season to be open. And I've seen that guy out. He must just have a super high tolerance for the cold because it's still very cold. But so last year, as a response to the COVID quarantine, Governor Lamont had very quietly opened fishing season early. And as we know here in Lakeville, it's a big tradition for people to show up at Lakeville Lake. There often are lines that go out about a half mile from the entrance to the lake. And what they're trying to do is avoid people going out in, you know, their multi-generation family pods in one boat and crowding around. And, of course, everybody has to be checked in. It's a lot of exposure. So rather than have a big celebratory opening day, he opened it, I think, 2 weeks early last year. But this is a full month early. And it was just, you know, I always say, people keep saying, like, oh, it's getting to be spring. The days are longer. But it's not. This is really the beginning of winter. We have a good solid 3 months to go. And often the big question on the first day of fishing is, will there be snow on the ground? So a day or so after he made this announcement that fishing season is open, to the delight of many fishermen, all the lakes solidly froze over again, and there was ice fishing again. So very interesting confluence events, and you will see below the photo of the hockey team that's been out. Very unusual to have cold enough weather in winter for there to be solid, consistent ice at our iced-over parks. But Trotterfield in Salisbury has had solid enough ice that the Hoosie team has been able to work out there on Sundays.
I saw that picture, and I went back to my years at the high school. My brother, Mark, in 1969, there was a Hoosie hockey team. They built their own rink in the field behind, and they were able to play on it on a hockey season. That's how much the climate has changed around here.
Right. And Ian Ingersoll in Cornwall had built a ranked down by the West Cornwall Firehouse, I believe.
It's good to see it. All right, now the story, which is guest insight, and this goes through everybody's mind, which COVID-19 vaccine should I get?
This is such an important story, and we were so lucky that Dr. Shepherd, who's an epidemiologist and infectious disease specialist, who had been, you know, in an important government post in India, he's a British guy, and is now living in Sharon. He's got the hops farm in Sharon. And sent this in, and it's a very interesting look at a question that's come up in the last week a lot. I'm getting the Johnson & Johnson shot today, which is a one shot. I'm super excited and happy to be getting it. And a lot of people who I know, who I actually had recommended, there's a phone number somebody gave me that worked really well, and I got right through. A lot, I'd say half of the people that I know who went to that phone number, got their shot appointments, ended up canceling it and continued to vaccine shop and try to get the Moderna or the Pfizer. And so this very smart doctor, who's a professor at Yale New Haven now, goes through why you should not vaccine shop. You should take whatever vaccine you can get as soon as you can get it. It's better for you. It's better for the community. It's better for the larger herd immunity. And he goes over some of the test results and explains why you can't really go by the numbers that are being poked up on national media saying, like, oh, this is 95% effective, but this one's only 72% effective. It's apples to apples. It's a different kind of shot. It was tested against different kinds of variants in different groups of people. The Johnson & Johnson and the newer shots have had a longer testing period than the first two shots. So fantastic. Whatever shot you can get, if you can get the Moderna, the Pfizer, that's great. But don't turn your nose up at the Johnson & Johnson if you can get it, is the bottom line in his.
All right. And the last story on the front page, and this is a national story, as a matter of fact, monuments and our view of history.
Right. David Anthon, very interesting guy, and he and his partner have Darn Studio down in Roxbury, and they're fairly social justice, you know, progressive art duo and do a lot of social commentary in their work. And I was surprised to learn that he's also a historic preservation officer for the state, which is, you know, based on the story here, there's a conflict there. And so we knew it would be interesting when it was announced that the Litchfield League of Women Voters was going to sponsor a talk by him where he's talking about monuments and whether monuments should be pulled down, because in a way that's what their art is about breaking down unhealthy patterns in society. So not unexpectedly, he gives a very balanced view of whether or not monuments should be taken down and in what fashion they should be taken down. A really interesting story by Deborah Alexinas.
I want to go to page A3, and once again, it's another story by Patrick Sullivan. And I like the headline because it says a lot in the headline, new learning style and budget plans for area schools.
Right. And so there, you know, all of our schools have new challenges as you know, we were talking, I think, last week of all the towns have new challenges in terms of things like the transfer station, where all of a sudden there's a lot of need for things that there wasn't a need for. So this year we have coming up need for a new social services director in the region, and so that's a big additional expense. People should pay attention. The budgets are coming up. This year you can actually watch public hearings on Zoom. I would say in general, like, what do you think? Maybe six people show up for budget hearings in a normal year, but we'll hope that a lot of people turn out, not just to question, but also to support the hard work that's being done. And it's always better if you know early on what the thinking is and ask your questions at the public hearing rather than just vote no at the town meeting. But also the change in the way that the cohorts are being staggered at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, different ways that the students are coming in, looking at, as they're watching how students are studying and learning, they're adapting, which is wonderful.
Yeah, and no, you're right. It used to take a crisis over budget or personalities to get people to show up at meetings, and now all you have to do is click on a link. You can join it live, or if you miss it, you can watch it on video. But it's much easier to join those meetings now.
Yeah.
You've got the story on this page about the challenges of signing up for vaccination appointments. And you know what? It affects people of all ages. It's just one of the things that we have to get through.
Although, interestingly, I talked to somebody at Hartford Healthcare early in the process when everybody's website had crashed, and she said, you know, we think that what it is the people in the 55-plus age group are a little more Internet savvy, and so all of them immediately went online on Monday morning to get their appointment, and the systems all crashed.
Yep.
But, you know, our social services agents, if you're having trouble, do give them a call, but they don't have a secret. You know, there's no magic bullet.
All right. In your obituary section, of course, we lost Robert Peters last week. He'll be having a small family thing and maybe something at the Woodland later on. Wow, a giant and a Philip attorney. I mean, just everybody knew him. It didn't matter what state you were in. Everybody loved him.
It's a big changing of the guard. We have the sale of the movie house. We've got Rob Peters' death. We have something we posted on Instagram that we'll have in the paper next week as well and on our Facebook page. The Woodland is going to stay open. Yep. There's some complexity going on in terms of, you know, what that's going to look like. They're working that out and have promised to keep us up to date as that's going on. And we got Robert's obituary last night from his sister Elizabeth. So we are posting that online today, and that will be in next week's issue. But Phil Turney, not only his obituary, but a very beautiful tribute to him on the front page of our Millerton News.
All right. And bonjour, a new restaurant in Sharon.
It's so good. I love it. I've been there, I think, four times. It's really, really great. Delicious food, very friendly and nice, and a wonderful story by Hunter Lyle. But also we'll be doing a story in conversation with Robert about the fact Robert Orber, the owner of the restaurant, who has purchased Beardsley Garden, which is another important commercial site in Sharon. He's using it as a residence now. They're fixing up the little brick building for him and his son Lucien to live in, and they're going to be growing vegetables for the farm there. He's doing a lot of local sourcing. He's using Q Farms as a source, for instance, for his meats. So we'll do a story on that as he gets ready to order his seeds.
And this is a tiny little story, but it's a big story about a new cafe opening in Falls Village.
Yes, and so we all thought it was going to be J.P. Gifford, which has done such a great job in Kent and Sharon, and they won't reveal who the new cafe owner is going to be, but it's not going to be Gifford's. Who'd had a lot of negotiation with the town, but somebody is going to open something. It's a big deal in that town where, you know, of course, Mountainside is very popular and is doing drive-through, but they lost Toymaker Cafe, which is a wonderful little place right in the middle of town.
All right, nice story about North Canaan, and this is a pretty big story about the Gain River access points.
This is a huge story, and everybody I know who's noticed this has said, oh, that's a great idea. There's that little brown Masonic lodge as you're coming around the curve entering into town, and I'd noticed they'd built a stairway down to the riverfront from it, and I thought, well, that's interesting. That building's been for sale for years, and you could never quite figure out what it was going to be. So it's now going to be a river access point. Anybody who's been paying attention for the last couple of years knows that, especially during COVID last year, the river was super overpopulated with people from out of town, often entering at places that were not safe and that did not have parking. So this is now going to be a river access point. The town of North Canaan is very happy to have it because they're having this wonderful revitalization in their downtown area right now and can actually service people who come into town and then want to go get lunch or, you know, want to get lunch and use a bathroom or, you know, want to dispose of their trash. There will be trash bins there. So I think this is a win-win for the other towns that have been overstressed by this, but also for North Canaan and for anybody who wants to use the river in summer.
All right. Want to mention you've got a great section of area businesses thanking everybody that has helped us get through the period we've just been through.
Right. This time last year, actually today is the first anniversary of the day that the CDC declared COVID-19 a pandemic. And so we did this last year around this time, too. And do give a look at all the businesses who are so grateful to all our first responders, healthcare workers, delivery people, essential personnel, teachers, parents and children, everybody.
And we have to move through because we only have about 6 minutes left, and we've got a lot of letters that are in the journal again. And your editorial, these changes will have lasting effects.
Right. We're talking about, of course, the pandemic, and specifically this week about what it's meant to teachers, students, and parents, families. And it's just been such a challenge, though I've got to say we feel that Region 1 administrators, especially Superintendent Lisa Carter, deserve our thanks for being so open and transparent with the community throughout, and we talk some about what their approach has been and how it's gone.
It's your letters, once again, range on national and local topics, and once again, people must be really sitting at home and bringing it up because you're, once again, I can't remember seeing this many letters on this many different items this many weeks in a row.
Right. It's been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
We didn't have to go, well, we didn't have to go to two pages of letters this week, but that front page is really full. And don't miss Lynn Curtis's. It's an interesting take on a sign in Canaan that she feels is inappropriate, and discussed this with the person who put it up. So she's talking about that. And we have two people who were mentioned in Daily Reveille's column last week taking issue with her take on what they said, and the Board of Selectmen of Salisbury thanking Michael Clements for his service and all town volunteers.
All right, now you've got Peter Steiner's cartoon, Yo, Dr. Seuss, and what's so good about that cartoon is the way that this story has been manipulated. Nobody told Dr. Seuss, the company that owns, what they had to do. This was a company decision they did themselves. No stockholders came forward or anything like that. They looked at their collection and they figured, you know what, in today's society, we might as well just take these six books off.
Right, yeah. It was the Seuss Foundation who did it themselves and just made the announcement. And it's incredible how the right-wing media has taken that and just run with it beyond belief. So, yeah, Peter's take is bound to make you smile.
All right, want to move on. I interviewed the super duo of the Sharon Playhouse last week, and you've got a great story in Compass about the 10-minute plays. They've just got a lot of stuff on their plate.
Those guys are incredible, and we're so lucky to have them. They really treat Sharon Playhouse as though they own it and have their own flesh and blood in it, and we're so fortunate for that. And they're just constantly thinking about ways to make the Playhouse relevant to us, entertaining to us, and to serve the theater community and the audience community. And so they're doing a festival of 10-minute plays, different age groups. They're inviting people to send in their short plays, which will be, I believe, performed. So details on that. And then we also, somebody had emailed us and asked us to do more stories on streaming options. I hope that's not my card that's beeping out there. streaming options, but also movies. And so we had Ed Furman last week recommending Let Them All Talk with Meryl Streep and with Dan Allgrant from Cornwall, who is, apologies to Dave, who keeps reminding me, but he's either the nephew or the grandson of Rose Allgrant of the famous Archo, but it's great. So this week we have a completely different take on streaming, which is Bruce Paddock talking about science fiction and the humor of the big fat quiz of the year and the decade, and another quiz show called QI, a show called The Expanse, which I'd never heard of, but he says if you're a science fiction fan, you've heard of it. It's the best SF show on television ever, but also a good one that I had heard of called Dark. And we have Patrick Sullivan's streaming recommendations next week on British mysteries, and after that, he'll do one on American mysteries.
You know, it's interesting. I have become a big documentary fan during these times, and have seen some amazing documentaries. I am a big science fiction fan, and I looked at this article and just smiled because if you're a science fiction fan, there is no lack of things that you can watch streaming live right now. But the good news is also that we will have sooner or later, because it's under reconstruction now, the movie house in Millerton back with an elevator and with taking it to the next level. I mean, we talk about streaming all the time. And basically, the movie house now, with what they offer with operas and entertainment and everything like that, you want to talk about streaming, except it's on a big screen like it should be, and great sound system. So pretty soon, we're going to be back to entertainment normal in our area.
We're going to have to do seminars on how to watch a movie with other people in the room who are not related to you.
You know, people always, when I used to go to the movie theater, and especially a comedy, I would find funny, I would laugh out loud, and nobody else in the theater would be laughing.
Because people are so used to being able to chat and, like, you know, make little jokes of their own, and that's got to stop.
People sitting with me used to say, "Stop that!" I said, "I can't help it. I find it funny. I have to laugh."
So maybe it will be a welcome diversion. I know a lot of people who have, by the way, it's like they're going out looking. Sounds like a zombie situation. They're looking for real flesh. They want to.
All right. Well, these stories and many, many more in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News, might I say, available online, tricornernews.com. It's the way I read it every week. It's just my favorite way of reading it. But, of course, you can get it at the area newsstands, and also you can get it delivered to your home when you can actually hold everything right in your hand. So, guys, keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and once again, you can find them at tricornernews.com, tricornernews.com on the web.